This week's episode is brought to you by Blue Harvest Vintage. Are you a collector? Blue Harvest love to help you find that missing piece you need to complete your collection. They have extensive stock of vintage Star Wars vehicles and mint on card action figures, as well as new The Force Awakens and Black Series items. Blue Harvest have Funko Pops, Lego, Dinky, Corgi, Matchbox and more. Everything a collector could possibly need. If they don't stock it, then let them know, and their knowledgeable staff will be only too pleased to help. Head to Morley Market in Leeds to see the life-size Darth Vader. Alternatively, reach out to Blue Harvest on Twitter, at Blue Harvest UK, Facebook, Blue Harvest Vintage Collectibles, a website, blueharvestvintage.co.uk, or email at blueharvesttoys@gmail.com.
Talk Star Wars is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Follow at SW Commonwealth on Twitter and take your first steps into a larger world.
Welcome to TSW After Dark Side. You rebel fleets want to pray rough? Okay, say hello to my little apprentice. Hooah.
Hello, mate.
That's better. You look much more fluid.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there. It was all a bit stuttery.
No idea. 2 seconds, I've just realised I haven't got my pop shield on.
Come here, no problem.
One day, there'll be a point where I've actually got my arse in gear, sorted out my recording kit for the other shows, and I won't need to keep switching, but...
Yeah.
it's not this day.
Not today.
Not today. I'll put it right here on the fridge.
That was funny.
I was really pleased with that.
I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
My call recording software is supposed to be...
Not shit,
and also on at the front of the call at all times so that I can keep an eye on it. Oh, there it is.
Got it? It's
finally decided to make an appearance.
There we go. Any better?
I just don't know.
Is that preferable?
That's much better, yeah.
All right. How's things?
Yeah, not bad, self.
Yeah, what? Knackering.
I think Paul is still stranded in London.
Yeah, what's that all about?
They said the station shut.
Show. Which one does he go to?
I don't know, to be honest.
St. Pancras.
No idea, mate.
Does he go somewhere else? He always seems to have problems.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's just like, he's found the one station that does like an old steam train or something.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
He always used to run on time, as far as I understood it.
Oh, Thomas? Maybe it's Ivor the Engine then. That's before your time, isn't it?
I know the name. Yeah. It's another one where I'm familiar with the concept, but maybe not so much the execution.
And surprisingly enough, your unfamiliarity with Ivor the Engine makes me want to kill myself.
Oh, so many things do. I don't know.
Mm. I had this at work the other day. The office manager mentioned a company called Booker.
Cash and Carry?
I don't know who they are. It's not.
I think there's a book and I don't know if it's the... Booker, but there is a Booker Cash and Carry, the one that like they do sort of, you know, they sell to retail shops and stuff. Right.
Bulk. It could well be it's a side of the business I don't have a lot to do with, so I'm not very enough. Familiar with it. And she mentioned Booker. I think she said something like, "But Booker is at the back door" or something like that.
Right.
And I said, "Oh, T and EMG's at the front door." And just now that got a laugh from you, right?
Yeah.
Completely full on deaf ears. Now, my colleague looked at me, we're about the same age.
Yeah.
And he smiled from ear to ear. And right. She said, "I don't understand the reference."
No.
I said, "You never heard of Booker T and EMG?" "No." "Never heard of Green Onions?" "No." "I'm going to self harm if this keeps happening to me."
See, if you'd started humming it, she might have gone, "Oh, where's the Wild Dogs or whatever it's from?"
I played it out of iTunes. I played it from. iTunes Match.
Yeah.
Because I've got a couple of versions of it on different albums. Nope.
Yeah.
Still nothing.
No joy.
No joy.
Naff.
Not good.
It's people.
Yeah, I know. It's heartbreaking. I think
we should have them killed, mate, personally. It's the only way forwards.
If you don't know who Booker T and the MGs are, you've fallen down the cracks of life, haven't you?
Really? The thing is, I suppose I've had it corrected for me because whenever I hear Booker T, I think of the wrestler.
Right.
Obviously, that's more my generation. But then at the same time, I still know the song. Oh, we're glass buddies.
Mm.
Look at that.
Yeah, look at this. Does yours still work? Your colour change?
Fuck, I don't think it ever did.
Yeah, no, not so much.
It was a housewarming present, so I was all right.
I got it for Christmas. I got an absolute crap ton of Star Wars stuff for Christmas.
Maybe I did get it for Christmas. This is even pre-TSW, so clearly, you know, clearly this is not an accident that I'm here.
It's so funny to think most things are pre-TSW. We're just a year old now.
Yeah, it's mental, isn't it?
Like last week or something, I think.
You want to hear something mental? Go cool. Carry on, finish what you're saying. I need to look something up.
I was just going to say, like, it was last week, I think, was the first. I got a message from Stacey White saying, and I got a message from Daniel Palmer as well.
Oh, wow.
Saying,
okay.
A year ago, we started this journey together. You know, it's been fantastic to see where it's gone and all this sort of stuff. And
yeah,
I thought it was really cool because I let the anniversary kind of slide past without saying much about it.
Yeah,
we got the new podcast art and it's a new avatar on all the social platforms. But it's
apart
from that, I haven't really done much.
No, but that's it's fine. You don't want to. I mean, the wariness I would have is obviously we're Blog Talk Radio now.
Mm-hmm.
If we started changing things in big swathes, people might be a little bit put off. You know, like it might be like, oh, they got corporate overlords all of a sudden. You know.
Yeah,
whereas if we're changing little things, like, oh, we've tweaked this, we've improved, you know, just it's just little improvements here and there. Like when every now and then I'll just change something so slight about the podcast logo as 314, like even if it's just one of the fonts or just redo it, same sort of theme, but just maybe do a slightly nicer version, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff's really quick and easy to do and people can see why you've done it. It's just like, oh, that looks nicer, that sort of thing.
Which is the response the art got for... Talk Star Wars last
week. I'm pleased to hear that. I really like it.
I didn't know. I mean, my initial reaction to everything is no.
It's hard to know.
We must kill ourselves because no to change. but the guy that did the artwork for us, his name's Eric. Really lovely guy. So accommodating. Everything I asked for, he did. And
nice.
He just couldn't do enough for us. And, my initial reaction was, no, I don't want it. I don't want to change it. I don't want to change anything. Not just because I was afraid that people wouldn't like it, but because, you know, as far as I was concerned, it was done. I moved forward. I don't want to take a step back and change anything. Just want to keep moving forward. But the artwork came through, and I think I said to you, I sent it out to everybody, didn't I? So have a look at this and let me know what you think.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've got to get out. My big thing at the moment is getting out my own way.
Okay.
And allowing something to grow.
Yeah.
Because the more I try and control it and contain it, the more stunted it's going to be. And if I can.
Okay.
I want to stop myself from becoming an issue. So I just thought, I did the first artwork. Let's see what someone else can do. And everybody that's taken the time to comment on it has been positive. So it's an improvement. Okay. That doesn't mean like this. It doesn't mean the artwork I did necessarily was crap, but it just means that this moving forward is better, and it's because a proper graphic designer's done it, and not just me cobbling something together. And I think it was. I'm looking at it now. I'm looking at this week's art now. I just think it's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, it's brilliant.
And he provided me with. Actually, I'd be interested to know what people, if this gets any comments, actually, because I've done the new artwork.
Yep.
Which you can probably see on the...
Yeah, yeah, I've got it on my iPad in front of me.
That's on the website. That's on the blog post that's going to go up next week. On whenever this goes out.
Yeah.
Now, this is a little inside baseball, but the original artwork is a Photoshop document on my MacBook Pro.
Yep.
And I've made life as easy as possible for myself, right?
Yep. I've taken some of your examples, actually. You've inspired me to do similar. So actually now I've got
the shortcuts and things.
Even just things like layers that you can't see.
Yep.
That are things like, you know, like nameplates for people who appear on the show.
Yes.
I've done them in a certain way using text paths, which are a bit fiddly.
Right.
So I wanted to make sure that the work wasn't for nothing. So what I've been doing is every time I do a set, I've been saving it as a layer that's invisible on certain episodes.
Yep.
So that means that when it comes to new people coming, like different people coming on every show, I can just hide the layers of the people who aren't there. and then just show the ones who've turned up.
It's a great idea.
It just means I have to do them once.
Yeah, it's a good idea. That's why I built those PSDs, because there's multiple layers in there. I can shove things around. I drag the artwork into the PSD and the transparent overlay is there. But I wanted to make it even easier for myself. So I was looking into a thing called Droplets in Photoshop.
Okay. I'm not familiar with it.
Well, they're a little, you make these little shortcuts by recording your workflow from start to finish.
Ah, I'm familiar with the concept.
You can save it as a macro inside Photoshop, which is what I've got at the moment. That's the best I can get. So you click a play button and it plays the macro. So it opens the base PSD, then you drop in your artwork, and then you click another play button and it exports it and saves it somewhere.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Because I wanted to speed up the workflow, because I thought the less time I'm spending knobbing about doing that sort of stuff, I can be spending it doing something else.
Writing content or just anything.
Anything, really, especially with the Commonwealth, with all the work that was going into the Commonwealth at the start. I needed to free up as much time as possible.
So here's I've given an example of how I think it's better already. Yeah. So that's so I've just posted in the show chat the cover art from the episode before I started doing the layer stuff.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's all right.
Yeah.
And then this one, where the fuck is it? He says, it's much easier, except I've lost it. Here we go. Oh, I see what I've done. And then this is the next one.
Nice. Oh yeah, I see. With the
names.
Awesome.
With the white, black, red are actually three different layers.
Yeah.
That are then merged down once I've finished them.
Yeah.
It's good, fiddly as all hell, but it looks really nice.
Yeah. Once it's done, it's done, though, isn't it?
Exactly. This is what I'm trying to do. Like I say, I'm trying to follow your example.
You're gonna love this, mate.
A GIMP file. Because that's the program I use.
Right.
And it's just all the layers are invisible, and then I just bring the ones to the front that I actually want.
Well, what I've done now is, because I got this new Mac a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. You got that up, just in time.
Yeah, I set this up. Yeah, I did. Yeah. I set this up. I set these there's a program on the Mac called Automator.
So okay.
You can apply different, you can build entire workflows into this Automator.
Mm.
So what I've done now is I've set up a folder on my new Mac that is solely for artwork for the podcast.
Okay.
And then when Eric did the new graphic design for us last week, I had him send me a transparent version of the logo.
Okay.
So I can put the cover art behind it.
Nice. Okay.
So what I did was in Automator, I built a workflow that basically watches a certain folder on the Mac. As soon as artwork goes into it, it applies the transparent layer over the top, exports it to another folder, which is ready to be deleted, but tags it with a little red tag to tell me that it needs to be actioned immediately.
Right. Okay.
So
nice.
I open up all these little tabs in my Mac.
That's awesome.
Choose the artwork I want, drag it into the folder.
Yeah.
It immediately gets exported as the finished artwork. As soon as I've uploaded it to the site, I click another macro and it deletes every element that was involved in making that piece of artwork from the Mac.
So all the raw materials just get
binned.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
I don't have to open up any programs, so there's no memory usage.
Nice.
It just goes, and I've got that now for all the header art on Talk Star Wars.
Yeah.
I just drag a piece of artwork into a folder. It kicks it back out with a brand on it.
And then
I delete everything. And also, I've set up my Mac so that when I take screen grabs, not the Mac we're using tonight, but the MacBook Air, when I take a screen grab, it applies the Talk Star Wars watermark to the bottom left-hand corner of every single image automatically.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And tags it so that I'm ready to just go straight to where it lives after it's been processed, use it, and then delete it with a click of a button.
Very cool.
So much easier, so much quicker. Yeah. I don't have to sit and brand things. I don't have to crop and edit anything at all.
Yeah, that's great.
It's all handled in the background.
That's the dream, isn't it, really?
It's perfect.
Just not having to worry about shit like that.
The aim for me now is, because I'm starting to, I don't know if you noticed, but Matt Keegan published a post on
I did see that, yes.
Talk Star Wars last week.
He did very well.
So what I'm hoping to do is eventually set up a Dropbox folder that has an in and an out folder in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can give people links to the Dropbox folder.
I see where this is going.
Put the artwork in the inbox and then go into the outbox, and it will be processed my end automatically.
Super.
So that all the artwork's branded.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, it sounds like a good shout.
Yeah.
You seem to be on top of it.
Yeah, at the moment it's working. The Mac, I'm going to give, because I'm going away next week and I'll be on the news cycle for Rogue One. So I'm hoping to open it up a little bit and see how I get on chasing the news cycle a couple of days, you know.
Cool. But, sounds good. I'm titting around with Photoshop more at the moment. Not Photoshop, but like GIMP, which is sort of a free equivalent. It's quite versatile, really. It's much like that program I downloaded for my video editing. It's like there's so many functions on it I'll never use, but it's just good because it does the stuff I do really quickly and easily, especially this layer. Now I've figured out this layering stuff.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm just working on something. Really I'm trying to come up with something. Like, you know how the Commonwealth's got that kind of common artwork, like the Commonwealth thing? I want something not so grand, but I want something that kind of just can be used to advertise the E14 podcasts. So I have an idea of what I want. It's just a question of sitting down and actually titting around with it till I get something that works.
Yeah.
What I want is kind of just the E14 text with a pair of headphones around the outside.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so I'm thinking if I do... Yeah, similar to that, and I'm going to have something like that for every different type of content that's offered. So, you know, there'll be a little gamepad one for Let's Plays, and there'll be maybe a little box one for unboxings and stuff. There's something, you know, to say, like, because you've probably found this with automated tweet tools and stuff, the photos you use aren't always particularly jazzy. I mean, you probably don't have that problem because some of the stuff you use is usually quite good, but some of my ones just look a bit dull. It'd be nice to have something at least that's, I don't have to share like four different images to get the point across. I need need one that's just like, you know, E14 plays or Toy Box or whatever. A Toy Box probably do it by itself, to be honest, but I'll leave that one alone because that's relatively new. So there's no need to sit around with it.
Yeah. Sometimes you can end up in this little procrastination cycle, can't you, of retooling everything.
You read my diary
from top to bottom. I do. Yeah, I've set up a macro on my MacBook Air, so every time you
give
write
me the,
an entry,
give me the gist.
I get a copy, and it's decanted into an audio book, so I can listen to it.
Sorry about that. I can't imagine how dull that is for you, mate.
Right, and assuming Paul will just jump on the call if he gets.
I guess
home,
so. Yeah,
I've told him not to worry. I mean,
it can't be up, can it?
He's got to get home and decompress, hasn't he? And we've got quite a full show tonight, looking at this.
There's no Steve for him to bicker with this week either.
No bickerings.
No, with Steve.
Yeah.
It was quite entertaining, but at the same time, I'm sitting there like, man.
Yeah, it got dark, didn't it?
Especially near the end. Bloody hell.
Yeah. Steve can spiral down a little bit sometimes. I think he forgets that he's on a Star Wars podcast.
Or indeed that he just needs to be bloody cheerful.
Yeah. That's what happens when you're a vegan, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah, the guy needs a steak.
Have you got show notes then, mate?
I do indeed.
Okay, I've updated mine because we had another question come in.
Okay.
From Reese.
Oh right, cool.
So I'm going to we'll just cover that. It's probably be the last thing before the break.
Okay, cool.
Oh, that was the other thing as well. I got a message from Matt Keegan last week saying, do you realise your podcast has got an ad on it? Yeah. So do you realise your podcast got an ad on it from an Australian car insurance company?
Oh, really?
I said, all right. He said,
yeah, I got like Twix or something.
Yeah, I'm getting Coca-Cola come through.
Yeah. Oh, legend.
And I said, oh, yeah, that's part of the Blog Talk Radio setup.
Yeah.
He said, all right, just as long as you know, because I didn't like the idea of him piggybacking something on without you knowing. I said, no, it's all part of the deal. I said, we don't make any money from it, just to be perfectly clear. We don't make any money from that right now.
No.
But when I was setting up the show structure, I built in the ad spaces from very early on. So yeah. The plan was always to have two ad breaks, and mm-hmm. we'd go to the Commonwealth shows, wouldn't we? So we were going to Tumbling Saber, and then we went to Generation X-Wing.
Yeah.
And now, because we're moving the Commonwealth stuff to a single spot in the shows, everybody, network-wide, it's the ad break now is just for us, and it's just pitching a VIP. But what it means is when it goes to YouTube, I can build adverts in to the YouTube thing. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't get, it's an organic break in the show.
Yes.
So I think long term, that might be a spot for adverts on Blog Talk mm-hmm. Radio.
Yes.
At least one. I don't know if I want to go to more than one because I don't want it to be too off putting because there'll be a bumper at the start and the end with ads and then one
I
in the middle.
I think so far it's been fine. I haven't really had an issue with it.
I don't want them to be obnoxious, the adverts.
No.
You know?
I think it's been fine. I think I looked at it today, actually, because I was listening to the show today.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire thing, which is Blog Talk Radio, Blue Harvest, and Star Wars Commonwealth, was under a minute and a half.
Yeah, which is ideal.
When you consider that it's like 2 hours of then in uninterrupted show, I think that's fine.
Yeah. And the Blue Harvest spot is longer than it should be, really. It's the pre-reel spot should we're on noteworthy on the front page of Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, nice. That's the second week in a row, isn't it?
We were featured, no, what were we before? We were top shows to consider, I think, previously.
That's right.
Now we're in almost also noteworthy.
Sweet.
So I'm hoping that we'll jump up. What I want to get is on the featured, because that's right at the top
That'd
bar.
Be awesome, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes.
Well, no rush.
Yeah, I can't remember what we were just saying. I know it was about adverts. And
yeah, just saying that I think the adverts, I don't think the adverts are that intrusive, really.
No, the pre-reel for Blue Harvest should only be 15 seconds.
Yeah.
But I said to Mark and Debbie at the start, I thought it would be nice if we could just sort of give them the full treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were our first sponsor, and it was
It's
important.
It's a relationship, isn't it? Mm. Ultimately,
and I'm keen to keep that. So,
yeah,
well, it's a good ad as well.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's very professionally done. I think the guy who did it is a master, just a magician.
I think he's a one take wonder.
I think. Do you know? It's funny you say that. You remember we talked about the Commonwealth Invitational last After Dark Side?
Yeah.
What I forgot to mention was that the third one was a one take.
Was it?
Yeah, I did the second one in. I think the first one took about four different takes cut together. Second one was two takes, and then the third one I did in a single go. And first take was, I thought, good enough to run with. And
is it going to go out?
Seem to agree.
All in one track, all as one track.
That's I mean, me and James have talked about it, so I think that's definitely still happening. I just don't know when that's happening. My understanding was that he's put it all together. He's just figuring it out, so right. I don't know. We'll see.
That'd be awesome. I look forward to that. It's really
good. Yeah, I'm really pleased with it. Like I say, it's turned out great. I think couldn't have asked for better, really.
No.
It helps to have James to bounce ideas off. He's really good with that stuff.
Yeah. Well, you both did sterling work.
Well, I appreciate that. It's very kind of you to say.
Right, okay. Let me just start a new recording and we can do the main show.
It'll be an interesting evening when I come to that edit.
Won't it just?
Yeah. I reckon I'll get through my alcohol supplies, though. They've been building up too much anyway.
Damn alcohol supply.
Yeah. It's nice, though. I mean, you know, I know from talking to you, Mark, that you're in the same mindset as me. If you don't do something, even if you don't commit to it, and but in your head you kind of went, oh, I'm going to try and do that, and you don't do it, you feel rough. You feel like you've dropped the ball.
Yeah, I do. I tend to beat myself up a lot about those sorts of things where I set myself goals.
Yeah, this is it. I'm trying to sort of, you know, at the moment my goals are sort of get the podcast rhythm back in, which I've started to do. Like I say, I'm not going to say for sure. I said in the outro to the main show, I'm not going to go down the route of saying, oh, it's fixed from now on, because obviously that would be, you know, a bit reckless. I can say that there's at least 3 more weeks worth of podcasting without any issues so far, assuming the recordings turned out all right, so I can caveat there.
Yeah.
Because they sounded fine when I was listening to them, but I know sometimes these mics are very sensitive. so they can pick up difficult noises to get rid of, especially when you're only on a single mic input.
In one channel, yeah.
Yeah, which I'm talking about single input as well, because this is only one, this is a single input, whereas obviously with, if you were to use a multi-track recorder, you could maybe mute certain things or...
Yeah, you know, like I do with the volume. In fact, a little bit of...
behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes.
Behind the magic.
Behind the magic. When we get the audio files, I play them directly into the mic from my phone. I play them out of Dropbox directly into the mic. And then when I do the edit, I will replace my channel with the high-quality audio file that was sent to me by whoever submitting the voicemail.
Yeah.
So I like the idea that when you guys are on the other channel and you're reacting to the audio message, the voicemail, we get that, and there's a lot of life in the audio message then, because you're reacting to it as you hear it, and it's the first time you hear it when you hear it live on the pod. But you'll never hear me on that channel because that goes completely. Whereas if I had a more comprehensive setup, I would be able to dial each of you in to the show and mix each of your channels as I record, and still have a separate channel for the audio message and play that in as well. So multi-channel recordings in our future, when we find a way to sort of get that kit together.
Yeah.
Because it's not, as you know from your recent purchases, not inexpensive.
Yes. It is not, no. And I feel like I'm still not done, annoyingly, because there's still bits I'd quite like to be able to, there's certain steps I'd like to be able to achieve that I can't do at the moment. So, you know, there's certain kit I could use that would fix that. There are, I mean, I can use stuff I've got. It's just, it's not going to be very high quality. So, you know, if I'm to the point now where if I'm going to do something, if I'm going to put as much energy into these things as I do, which, you know, obviously I put a fair bit of effort into the E14 podcast and the videos and stuff. If I'm going to do them, I'm going to do them as high quality as I possibly can. And in order to do that, a lot of the time you need decent quality kit.
Yeah.
Because I've, you know, we talked about how I've heard podcasts that are really good content, but a little rough on the audio. And actually, there was a podcast I was listening to the other day called The Master Debaters.
Genius.
It's brilliant. It's really good. It's the Midlands based podcast outfit. And they just, they're like the Crazy Train. They just talk about whatever subjects are on their mind at the time. And they just kind of banter back and forwards. And they're, in similar way, they can push the envelope of what's considered acceptable subjects of discussion.
Yeah.
And they had their anniversary show recently, and they were talking about audio quality and how they can barely listen back to the original episodes because they sound so rough.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, it's jarring. I mean, I just go back and, you know, the audio quality on the Crazy Train's changed a number of times. I've only ever changed the mic once, but that's a lot of the time is just because I've done something different, changed the mic setting, moved it around, told people to shut the fuck up for a bit while I can sort it, while I sort it out. Monitor using headphones rather than just coming back to it after the fact, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's all sorts of things you can do to kind of make higher quality, and a lot of it is not necessarily that difficult.
Yeah, it's not always difficult. It's convenience more than anything, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, for sure. I think that's definitely a factor.
I'll pick a lot of the decisions I've made for the setup we've got now, they've been purely made for convenience, because we can't get in the same place and record, and because people are recording with different equipment and trying to get all that stuff to plug together. I mean, I've had a hard enough time getting Steve a reliable setup that he can use week in, week out. And still haven't quite cracked the code of that yet. Because it's still...
there's still patchy places where it's not so...
The white so noise well. That picks up, because he's using an iPad, the white noise that comes through is just so frustrating. We think we're nearly there with it, but I will get him stuff that addresses that at some point.
Yeah, we'll sort that out. You know, ultimately, he's going to be part of the crew for... a while, I'm sure. So I don't see any reason why
I would
he
hope.
Can't sort his kit out as a matter of getting, you know, it's one of the things everything's got lists of stuff you want to achieve. Like I've got even something as simple, I've actually found this quite productive. I don't know if this works for you as well. Just making a small list of, no matter how small the objective is, making a list, including that objective for your evening. So if you've got an evening where you're like, right, I can get some editing done or I can get something done, you make a little list of different things you want to accomplish in that evening. I actually find myself more productive when I note it all down.
Yeah.
Whether that's because I'm actually getting more done or whether I just feel more like I'm actually getting stuff done because it's written down and I'm crossing it out actively, consciously.
Yeah. I used to do that. Both. I used to do that all the time with the shows. My workflow would always be planned out as a little list with a little check off box.
Yeah.
So I knew where I was with everything. Because it just gets overwhelming. If you just left to your own devices, it's just bloody overwhelming.
Yeah, this is it.
Absolute nightmare. I'm sorry, I'm just doing some stuff in the background while we're talking.
No, that's fine.
The traditional After Dark Side.
Yeah, I've been doing the same, mate, while we've been talking. Don't worry about that, because I've posted in the show chat something I've been knocking up while we've been talking.
Right.
Yeah. I was talking about how before we started recording the main show, I was talking about how I wanted to put a kind of communal podcast logo for Emotionally 14.
Mm-hmm.
So I've put something together that's pretty basic, but it does the job of what I want it to do. So I've put that in the show chat so you can see it.
Cool. I'll have a look in a minute, mate.
No rush. It's just a thing I've done. I've done some other bits as well, but they're not going to be used until much later because one of them is like a thumbnail for any gaming videos we do. Because at the moment we're just using the generic site logo, and while I think that's fine, I would like every kind of different channel to have its own. Not different channel, every different playlist to have its own logo.
Yeah.
So I've been working on that at the moment. So I've finished now. And this, again, it's like one of those things if you're smart about it, you can get more stuff done just by kind of fitting it around what you're already doing. You know, so I mean, we're on a Skype call right now talking Star Wars, as our name suggests. But at the same time, I'm on a computer. So there's little bits and pieces I can noodle with that aren't going to distract me from the discussion.
Yeah.
Because I don't need to, like, obviously I couldn't edit Crazy Train or something while I was talking to you because I need to be able to hear what you're saying.
Yes.
But I can do Photoshop stuff.
Yeah.
I wanted to just like chuck a logo into a video, I could do that because I don't need the audio. That sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what I've just been up to now. I've just been editing a new version of the show art for this week.
Put together
the video for the actual element that will become the video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know
we're talking as well. So
the old Betamax style thing, right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice style. I just wanted it to look visually interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Sometimes it's nice to just have something it doesn't have to be. You know, I've seen like really, you know, it's tons of really elaborate logos, and it either costs people a lot of money or it takes them a huge amount of time.
Yeah.
And then you look at their sort of, I don't know, like their Patreon or something, like they've got a Patreon page and they're making like $6 a month.
Like, yeah.
Can you really afford to justify that effort for that output? I mean, if you're doing it as a fun thing and you're enjoying what you're the Photoshop, then great, good for you, more power to you. But I can't imagine that's true of everybody.
No. I do enjoy the Photoshop side of things.
I can get quite into it sometimes.
Yeah, I really do enjoy it. But
yeah,
I sort of fluctuate wildly between wanting to do all these huge, complex things. Like for a little while in the YouTube version of the show, I was putting in little breaks with animations. I was doing just like more insider detail as well. I was doing all the animations in Keynote.
Okay.
I would do things like animate logos in Keynote against a green.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was doing green screen composition in iMovie.
Okay.
Which is a very quick, down and dirty way of getting logos and text and stuff like that over your video. And if you want to animate it as well, you can animate as long as you're not dealing with transparencies, because you start to lose the effectiveness of your green screen comp.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to go to opaque versions of what you're comping in.
Yes.
So as long as you're sensible about what you're using it for, you can use Keynote to do your animations and then export it as a video and comp it into it as a green screen element, which is what I was doing for a while. But it just makes a what should be a really simple job that's already time consuming.
Yeah.
Just immeasurably harder to get done.
Yeah.
It's just like making work for yourself. For what? People are mostly listening to an audio podcast, even if it's on YouTube, it's gonna be playing in the background. They don't They don't necessarily want to be listening, want to be watching every frame you put on.
No, but this is the thing. This is why I don't bother doing anything really elaborate with the YouTube versions of the podcast for exactly that reason.
Yeah.
People aren't going to be watching, for the most part, they're not going to be watching that stuff because what they're actually going to be doing is just following along while they're listening to, you know, while they're doing something else.
Probably at work.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I do all my podcast listening at work because, you know, I don't really have the time to do anything else. You know, I tend to use the commute at the moment to listen to recordings I've made to make sure that they're all right so that I can make notes about where to make cuts. So that if, like, for example, tomorrow night I've got to edit, publish YouTube and write the blurb for the next E14 Gamecast.
Yeah.
Which goes out on Friday morning. And I've not done any of it yet. But what I have done is taken the audio file to work with me in my on my phone, listened to it, made some notes about where I need to make cuts so that I can go straight in, cut those things out, and then just mix the file together really quickly. So it'll take me 5 minutes rather than an hour and a half listening back to the show, having to, you know, go back and double check stuff. I can actually just, you know, listen to it once and I go, yep, okay, cool, that works. And then come in and go, right, snip, snip, either side, and then just publish. You know, immediately, and I can just take that file, stick it straight in the YouTube video, and away I go.
I did that last week after I edited together, because was it last week's After Dark? So I had quite a lot of edits to make.
Oh, yes.
Because we were moving around to accommodate the final part of the wrap. So what we recorded first went in last, and then I lost the recording. And managed to salvage it and convert it.
Oh, man, I forgot all about that, yeah.
I lost the recording. I couldn't believe it. But I managed to dig through all the... Because I don't delete everything at once. I've been sitting here now making all the conversions, converting all the files down to AIFF files so I can load them into GarageBand and mix them. Yeah. But the original movie versions, the .movs, I put them into a folder marked to delete.
Yeah.
So they're out the way, and once I'm done, I can wipe them all out.
All of them.
All of them. And it's a system that's worked really, really well for me so far. And last week, it helped because I had to find those original MOV files.
Yeah.
What didn't help was that they're all named exactly the same thing.
Yes,
so
I can imagine
that's
a
copy. So I had to sift through, and anyway, I found it, made a version, edited it, saved it onto my server, downloaded it onto my iPhone, and listened to it while I was walking the dog to make sure it made sense. And that was the copy that I sent to you, so that you could listen to it as well to make sure that it made sense.
Yeah,
I wanted an extra pair of ears on that one.
I figured as much, because when you don't tend to send it to me unless you have a perception of a problem with it.
Yeah.
It tends to be, I tend to sort of leave it to your better judgment to publish, and, you know, you've usually nailed it. So when you send something to me and say, can you have a listen to this? I'm like, right, something's got him bothered.
Something's got pear-shaped.
I don't know what it is necessarily, just from, you know, your request. I usually assume that it's either cursing or we've said something vaguely contentious. Although we're pretty well behaved, really.
Well, last week's show was kind of cursing heavy, wasn't it? There was a lot of it in last week's After Dark Side, and by design as well, because we had fun with it, and the idea was to sort of play that up.
Oh, of course, yeah, that was the episode with Carlos's question, wasn't it?
Sublime question.
He's obviously, we know from being a talented musician that he's got an ear for delivery of vocals.
Yeah.
It's just the, what the fuck are you cutting out?
Yeah.
Just crack me up. Still does.
It's funny. That whole episode I really enjoyed.
It was gold. I think that we've had a few, good After Dark Sides. I think that's one of the better ones.
Yeah, really good. And
yeah.
And I mean, people seem to like this show just because it's scatological. Yeah. I keep hitting that word, don't I?
Yeah.
We don't really plan things out. We don't have an agenda. It's all very organic.
And
I'm always doing something whilst we're talking, so it's never really, I'm only doing it with part of my brain, and it's usually not the better part of my brain either.
Yeah. Here's one for you.
Well, mate.
By the time this episode goes out, the election will be done with.
Oh, so we'll be living in a different world.
Either way, yeah. It's weird to think, isn't it? I was thinking about it yesterday because we sat there and we realized at the end of the show, by the time that the next Crazy Train gets released, there will be a new president incumbent. Yeah. Weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
One of the, it's by that, the Sophie's Choice of elections, just the two most unequivocally unpopular candidates in recent history going one-on-one in a who wins, we lose match. For the free world.
Don't look at it like that.
All joking aside, I don't think it's going to lead to the apocalypse, whoever wins. I really don't. If you think about how hamstrung the American system makes candidates.
Yeah.
They can get stuff done. Of course they can, because otherwise there would be no point. But it's so much harder than it seems to get stuff through Congress and stuff. I mean, I think they've only had one executive order since Obama.
Have they really?
Where he's pushed something through, kind of not against the will of, but regardless of the feelings of Congress. I think that's right. I'm not 100% sure. Any American listeners are welcome to correct me on that. I'm more than happy to be corrected on American politics, because I want to know more. Actually,
yeah. I mean, we're not meant to know, are we? We're British. At the end of the day, we barely know what's going on.
Blimey, governor! You're a cynic, governor. Yeah.
And I would be, I'm very careful about what opinions I air, because I'm undereducated on the American political system, and it's not my country. I've got to be careful what I say, because I can't really afford to have an opinion, just as I would probably get the ump if I was listening to an American podcast and they were talking about Brexit and their opinions on whether or not.
Do you know what's funny, actually? I saw somebody on Twitter the other day say, British people don't get to give us shit for our election. You voted Brexit. I was just like, shut up, you little prick.
Yeah.
I didn't say that because obviously they're entitled to their opinion, but I just found myself sitting there thinking, what a little bell end.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? It's like religion. You can have your opinions, and sometimes they are better kept personal.
Couldn't give a shit, personally. You believe what you like. Yeah. It's not hurting anybody. Do what you like. I've got no objections to this stuff whatsoever.
I have clear opinions on many things, and they're the opinions I use to govern myself.
Mm-hmm.
And
perfectly fair.
They've steered me fine so far. I'm very... conservative is the wrong word to use, but I don't have any guarded. I don't have any extreme views.
You're moderate.
I would say, yeah. I would say so. I just think that people have the right to be who they are. They have the right to spend their life with whoever they choose. More importantly, they have the right to choose in all instances of their life, bar none.
Okay.
And fair. You know, whether or not that fits in with everybody's ideals, probably not the case.
Who's to say?
There's not a catch-all thing, is there?
No. And if it was, it'd be boring.
It would be boring, but I do so get frustrated with the intolerance in the world because of somebody's sexual orientation or their religious commitments.
Yeah. Indeed.
It's low hanging fruit, and it to say that something like that, but I'm finding the world an increasingly more frustrating place to exist in.
But if I can give you any consolation, Mark, is that the tide on that stuff is going to gradually start turning.
You think?
Absolutely. I can tell you now it's already happening. Just by the fact that more young people seem to be engaging in politics, which doesn't sound like a great thing depending on what they vote for. Mm. But it really, you know, the fact that they're engaged is an encouraging sign because it means that they don't not give a shit, which is helpful. These things are happening. Like, you know, you've heard me mention the Rubin Report.
Yeah.
The podcast I listen to and the amazing Dave Rubin who puts it all together. He is, to me, one of the clearest thinkers I've ever encountered in the kind of celebrity space is the wrong word, but I know what I mean. But he's, you know, to me, he's one of the most clear-headed individuals in the whole discussion. And there are a lot of polarizing voices on that stuff. And it is frustrating. I do understand how it can be frustrating because I've just read a piece while we've been talking and it put me on edge. You know, just things like little stupid things that shouldn't bother me but do. You know, like stuff that ultimately doesn't affect my life in any meaningful way because the kind of lunatics who deliver it aren't looking at enacting policy.
Mm.
Because they're in a perfectly sane and reasonable world, they should be nowhere fucking near it. Whether or not that's the case and always stays the case, hard to say. That is kind of up in the air. You know, people are there for everybody who's getting engaged in politics who's a reasonable mind, there's also some fucking nut jobs.
Yeah.
But what can you do?
I hope that the tides turn and that the mm-hmm. more reasonable people.
Yeah,
whether they're moderate or not, mm-hmm. get to be the ones calling the shots. And it's not. Well, I hope that we're not just going to keep making the same mistakes time and again, and keep covering the same ground time and again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see. I can see what you're saying.
The frustrating thing is there's so much hate-filled rhetoric, and it doesn't matter which side you're looking at.
Agreed.
There's so much hate-filled rhetoric.
Yes,
and I think it's the Pope, I think, who said recently.
Is he going to blame the Pope?
No. I'm certainly not going to blame the Pope. Perhaps I should edit that. Edit my gap. Pause.
That's me being silly. It's not. It's pretty clear to anybody paying attention that you weren't suggesting that.
Blaming the Pope. No, he said recently. anyone talking about building walls and not bridges in the modern world. They're getting it wrong. You know, I'm paraphrasing. The important point is he hit on the fact that if you're talking about building a wall or if you're, and you can extend that out in any way you choose, if you're talking about preventing people doing things that makes their life more bearable, you're getting it wrong.
Mm.
If that's moving to another country because it offers you whatever, opportunity, asylum, whatever it is, and someone's trying to stop you from doing that, it's lunacy. If someone's trying to stop you spending your life with somebody and having equal opportunities and equal rights, just because you're the same sex, then you're an idiot.
That one I could definitely agree with you on. I think that's. I don't know why that matters. To be honest, I really don't. Why it would matter is what I mean. It doesn't matter. What I don't understand is why it possibly could.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing that needs to happen ultimately is a really simple thing because I'm probably less moderate than you in some places, but at the same time I'm not going to, for obvious reasons, not going to go into tremendous amounts of depth because people don't tune into this to hear that sort of shit. To be honest, I don't think. I would say that the key thing that has to happen is any time, and this goes to anybody on any side of the discussion, any side of the spectrum, any time you think you see the lunatic fringe of the argument, whether that's far left or far right, because they're both as bad as each other,
mm-hmm.
and anybody who kids themselves otherwise is one of those aforementioned lunatics. if you see that stuff, call it out. Don't let them, you know, push you around. Don't let them threaten your speech. The only way to beat bad ideas is to challenge them. You can't just stay quiet and let them, you know, proliferate.
Mm.
Because if you proliferate, if you let ideas like that proliferate, then eventually what happens is those people are in a position to they've mustered up enough support that they can change the world. And it might be in a subtle way, it might be in a significant way, but the fact is they have something in front of them that allows them, or something behind them rather, in a way, to allow them to make a change.
Yeah.
And you might find that change even more unpalatable than what they were saying in the first place.
Yeah, because often I couldn't agree with you more. The more these things go unchallenged, the more undereducated or people that lack the application to actually take a proactive position will take that as a sign that these people are right. If you don't challenge it, if you don't question it, if you don't bring an alternative to the table that is better, that improves the situation, other people will take that as a sign that
they must be doing something right.
That must be right. If it's going unchallenged, it must be right.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
the odds are, you've got to be able to stand up and say, no, this is wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to be willing to do it. And like I say, you have to do it on both sides of the argument as well, because like I say, they're just as bad on the far left as they are on the far right. And anybody, like I say, anybody who thinks that they're not is too far in one direction or the other.
Yeah.
It's one of those phrases, I feel like it's a quote I read somewhere, but it's just something that sticks in my head. If you look at the center and you think it's too far one way or the other, you're too far the other way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you stand at the center, if you look at you're looking at the center where most of the moderates hang out, and you're going, blimey, that's really far to the left, you're too far to the right, and vice versa.
Yeah.
You're looking at the center and saying, oh, it's too far right, you're too far left, because to you, that's where the center is. Because if you think you're in the center, then of course you're going to see the center as off to the right if you're on the left. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, it's
perspective.
I'm kind of taking the movie The Road to get to my point, but I do have, you know, there's occasional nuggets of wisdom in there.
Yeah.
But my brain does make me work for it.
I think that's probably a good place to leave off for the evening, for the week.
Yes, indeed.
So no thrills. I'm at Talk Star Wars on Twitter.
I'm at Rob Wade Vision. Challenge me.
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.